Hey, before we get started, if you are ready to pass your exams and become a licensed architect, you're going to want to listen to this. We are revolutionizing architectural education. It is my goal and mission to help as many people as possible become licensed architects while still maintaining their happiness. So introducing The Architecture of Play. This is our secret podcast series that will transform the way you study and prep for your ARE. Imagine having a happy work-life balance while also pursuing your dream of becoming a licensed architect. I promise you, it is possible. Our 7-episode private podcast gives you exclusive access to the secrets that can make this dream a reality. Remember, the more fun you have, the more likely you are to pass your exams and become a licensed architect. Start listening today at dci.beyoungdesign.com/secret podcast. Don't miss out. This is going to transform your exam prep and help you enjoy the process of becoming a licensed architect. All right, enjoy the episode. Everyone who's going through the architecture exams know that it is a long process. It is not the easiest journey, but it's something that we as licensed architects have to go through. Today on the show, I'm talking to Michael Barton, and we're specifically talking about his journey through the ARE. He failed 4 exams in a row, and he's going to talk about what that meant to him, what that looked like, and how he was able to get motivated to get back into it, take his next exam, and finally pass. It's a motivational story and one that I know will definitely inspire you if you're going through your exams. If maybe you're not on the exact timeline that you thought you were originally going to be on, and maybe if you've had a couple fails and you're really struggling with what to do differently and how to approach these exams so you can finally pass and become a licensed architect. Michael is from Salt Lake City, Utah. He is a father of 3, and he enjoys spending his time outdoors, running, and being with his family. And you're going to hear a little bit about his crazy running and outdoors when he talks about his exams, and it's a great story. So stay tuned. You are going to love Michael's story, and I know that if you're going through the exams, this is going to be a story that you're definitely going to want to listen to. All right, let's get started. Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today. I am here with Michael Barton, and we are going to dive into the exams and his architecture journey and all that good stuff. So welcome, Michael. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm excited to hear your story. I know that you have a big win that you are celebrating right now. So yeah.
I'm
going to dive into it.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we go too deep into the exams and the wins and the losses. Now I want to dive into a little bit about your architecture journey. So where did that start off for you? Kind of what led you into it and all that good stuff.
I didn't realize this until later. So I grew up with a grandpa that was a brick mason, and he was constantly talking to me about construction and like plans he was looking at and drawings he was looking at and projects he was working on. So I was always like engaged in it because it was just kind of like commonality me and my grandpa had. And we grew just really close because of it. And then as I like, you know, started into college and figure out what I want to do, my dad was like, you should be a structural engineer. You know, engineers make good money. They do it. And I have an uncle that's a really successful local engineer here in Salt Lake City. And so my mom's brother was like, go talk to Uncle Chris and see, you know, what's going on. So I go and talk to my uncle, and the whole time I'm at his office, I'm like, do you guys do that? Do you guys do that? And everyone was just, no, that's the architect. That's the architect. That's the architect. And so I immediately was like, maybe I should be an architect. And then kind of later I realized like I was never a good drawer. Like I was the worst at it. And then like people started showing me like sketches of architects. And I'm like, that's a terrible drawing.
Yeah, right. It's like a doctor's.
Yeah. I'm like, but that looks awesome. I was like, I could do that. Cause I always kind of had my idea in architect where I was like, I'm just not a good drawer. And everyone was like, you have to be a good drawer. But then, yeah, I just had this like, oh my gosh, I can be a crappy drawer and be an architect.
Be the best architect because it's so messy.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of my two worlds collided of like, I actually have this love of drawing. I'm just not good at it. And then kind of this construction background that kind of found the happy place with architecture.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much because I loved art and I loved to draw, but I was kind of the same. Like if I'm drawing people, especially from just my mind, they're so weird looking. Like I always thought that I wasn't a great sketcher. And once I released that control and started doing like really messy sketches, it started being like cool architecture sketches. And so it's true. It's like, you don't have to be an amazing artist necessarily. I mean, it doesn't hurt either, but there's possibility in that. Although I like that too, that you're like, okay, well, who's doing that? It's the architect. All right, I guess I gotta do that. So did you go straight into college knowing first off that that was what path you were going to take?
I mean, that was kind of doing like my generals where, you know, those first year or 2 years kind of filling out it out or whatever. And I actually, my architecture journey begins with hardship was I didn't get accepted into the bachelor's program at the University of Utah, which I was attending. So then that really threw me for a loophole of like, well, I want to be an architect, but I don't want to wait another year to reapply to maybe get in. So then I actually got my bachelor's degree in urban planning. Yeah, it does help actually. And a lot of people that I talked to, because I was pretty discouraged at the time, everyone was like, you know what? It'll make you more diverse in your background. It just won't be architecture. So in hindsight, it worked out well. But in the moment, it was pretty devastating.
Yeah, you know, so many of us go to something different for your bachelor's. And with architecture, it's so common to get your master's. And so that's kind of a good reminder to people. Like if you don't get into the first program directly in architecture, take something that can be applied to it. You know, like my first degree was in interior design. And there's other people who, you know, even real estate or business could be super helpful too. And so each one's kind of like a building block to that next step.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you go straight to your master's program after you graduated?
No, so I took a year. I actually like really enjoy urban ecology and urban planning. I guess in academia, it's great. But then you get out in the real world and you're just reviewing plans and kind of going over boring zoning regulations and things like that. So I took a year to figure out like, okay, do I want to do this? Do I go get my master's? And after that year of work, within that year, like 3 months in, I was like, okay, I can't do this. So then I started working for an architect that just hired me. And I didn't lie to him about my skills, but I basically said like, yeah, I can do that for you. And then I was YouTube University from there. But then, yeah. So then after a year of working, I got into the master's program.
Nice. I mean, I think that having that break in working sets you up well for master's and for the exams. So let's dive into that a little bit. What did that process look like? Were you the type that wanted to hit them hard as soon as you graduated, or did you want to have a break? I know you have a family, so you have three kids. So I'd love to hear also like how that affected or maybe didn't affect that timeline. What'd that look like?
Yeah. So into my master's program, so I took a 3+ program. Mm-hmm. So that first summer is really heavy. Like we're talking a full-time plus job in the summer. So I wasn't able to work. And the firm I was at, the principal told me, if you can't be here for 4 hours at a time, then don't come to work. And I was like, well, I have a family. I have to pay bills. And so I just started freelancing, you know, additions or whatever remodels I could get a hold of to pay the bills. So that kind of sparked the entrepreneur in me to like, oh, I can pay the bills doing this. And kind of it allowed me to set my own schedule and things like that. So once I graduated, I was like, I want to take my business to the next level, which is, you know, getting licensed and doing everything. So I thought I was like, my goal was one calendar year after graduating to be licensed, which did not happen. Humbly did not happen. So I was pretty gung-ho at the beginning, but now I'm still on this journey. So here we are.
Yeah, I had the same reasoning for wanting to get licensed, working in school on my own projects and then having to explain to clients that I'm not technically an architect. I can do these projects. And it was just always such like a workaround. And so that was a huge motivator for me as well. And I didn't finish in 1 year either. So, you know, it's a journey. So where are you at in the process?
So I'm halfway through, a handful, about 3 more tests left halfway through, past PPD on Sunday, which I immediately sent out to you and other MOA members. So I had a big win through a lot of failure for a little bit there. So
and
halfway through.
not an easy exam. So huge congratulations on that. And, you know, I'm really happy you did decide to come on to talk about it, because not a lot of people are comfortable with talking about their journey, especially when it does include fails. And it's so important for us to talk about it because the majority of us go through it. And it's so reassuring for other people who have dealt with multiple fails to know, like, hey, this can happen. So before we even hit record, you mentioned, like, I think that this, I got to a point where I thought this test wasn't passable. So I'd love to hear about that and that process. And then even like what helped you push through that? And what if this exam, when you went in it, if it looked different? And if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, so before, like, I had gone through four fails in a row, I think, of different tests. And that's when I kind of heard about your program and stuff. And to be honest, I was in a pretty dark place mentally. Like, I was, confidence was gone. Didn't even know if I want to keep putting time and money into this thing. I felt like I was just spinning my wheels. I thought I had a pretty good knowledge of what to do, but apparently I didn't. So it wasn't until, like, you, honestly, you, I'm praising you right now, Bryn. So I realized through your program that, like, I knew the information. I just need to figure out what NCARB was really asking me. And there's, like, just taking that extra step or layer back for the question that they're asking me to figure out the answer, which kind of recognizing, like, that surface level option they give you is a really tempting choice to pick, but you got to really think critically about what they're asking. Mm-hmm. And that might change your answer, or it might not, but you got to have the knowledge and fundamentals to check it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've come to realize is, like, you just got to be so good at the fundamentals. You just know your fundamentals so well, so perfectly. And you, that's what gets you across the finish line, I believe. But yeah, I've been in a pretty dark place. So this PPD pass was huge for me and my confidence.
Yeah. And I think that it's understanding the knowledge, but then that's it. Like, once you know it, it's also trusting yourself, having confidence in yourself so that you can sit there in the exam and feel good about the choices. I'm sure there was still nervousness. I'm sure there was still second guessing certain answers. I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was still a ton of that, but not nearly as bad as my previous time that I'd taken it before going through the program was. I was questioning everything. And this, there were some questions where I was like, there's no way that's wrong. Like, there is no way that is wrong. So yeah, it felt good to be that confident.
Yeah. And it gives you that clarity so that you can move forward and focus on the questions that you really do need to, you know, flag and go back to and not be bogged down about. Because if you're questioning each one, then you're just overanalyzing the whole exam. What do you feel like was the biggest transformation for you?
Well, I think my learning type and learning who I am was huge. Just figuring out the way, I know, like, people always say, like, you just got to know the how, like, don't memorize, know the how. But I kept figuring out of, like, how do I remember the how?
And, how do I memorize the how?
How do I memorize the how? Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't realize it until I took the quizzes, but it was like, I recognized most of the information, like flashbacks, like conversations I had, and like not the diagram I saw in the book. It was the conversation I had with a friend or, you know, peer or whatever, that's what helped me retain information. So I think learning who I am as a student, because I was able to like breeze through school pretty easily, to be honest with you. I was a B+ student and I was okay taking a B+. So like, this is the first time in my life I've felt like super challenged academically. And I think learning that was huge for me.
Yeah. I see so many similarities in you and myself, because same, I was like, school was fine. I didn't get straight A's, but I also didn't really try to get straight A's because B's were comfortable and I didn't have to work too hard. And so that made the fails even more like, what, how do I even change this? And so that's when, diving deeper into, okay, let's take a step back. Let's figure out how to pass this. Like, okay, change up how I'm studying. Like you, I'm auditory, so I love to listen, but it wasn't even just listening. How do I apply that? How do I figure out how to even get in there and not freak out? And I mean, there were still like heart palpitations as I'm pressing finish, but it was this new level of clarity, really, is the easiest way I can describe it. And it does make a big difference.
Yeah, huge. It was just confidence for me, just knowing I knew way more information or retained way more than previous tries.
Yeah. So you had two previous tries before this one, is that right?
Oh yeah. This was number two. So that was the next exam. Yeah, that was the next layer of this whole thing was like, like, in my head, I was like, well, if I don't pass this one, now I have to wait till September. And I'm like, and then, you know, you really get in your head about that. And so this was a big, big, big win.
That's so exciting. Awesome. So I assume that now you're feeling motivated to keep going. Are you giving yourself a little bit of a grace period or anything like that?
A little bit, not too much. To be honest with you, like, I'm like a year and a half into this. So I've been studying now for 18 months. And kind of, as I mentioned to you, as our relationship's grown, is I think I know the information. And so now that, like, I feel like I'm just picking up momentum now. I've heard people like say, I just picked up momentum and just started knocking them out. And that's where I feel like I'm at currently, just with all my fails, all my background, all my studying, that now I have this extra tool that I think I'm just going to start pumping them out. So I've actually already scheduled my next one in 2 weeks.
Nice.
And then, yeah. So, and then I'm going to try and do the next one 2 weeks after that. So hopefully I'm just picking momentum.
So what three do you have left?
PA. So I'm going to do PA and then PDD next, and then construction.
Okay. So have you taken CE before?
Yeah, I've taken them all.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but so now it's that thing. Now you know the information. Now it's, you have these tools in order to set you up so you feel good, you're motivated. And also, if there is a fail, you have these strategies in order to pick yourself up afterwards, you know, rather than letting it totally take you down. But also, you know, you said you've been doing this for a year and a half. The average time is, I think, 2.1 years or something. So like, really, you're right on track.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get started, if you are ready to pass your exams and become a licensed architect, you're going to want to listen to this. We are revolutionizing architectural education. It is my goal and mission to help as many people as possible become licensed architects while still maintaining their happiness. So introducing The Architecture of Play. This is our secret podcast series that will transform the way you study and prep for your ARE. Imagine having a happy work-life balance while also pursuing your dream of becoming a licensed architect. I promise you, it is possible. Our 7-episode private podcast gives you exclusive access to the secrets that can make this dream a reality. Remember, the more fun you have, the more likely you are to pass your exams and become a licensed architect. Start listening today at dci.beyoungdesign.com/secret podcast. Don't miss out. This is going to transform your exam prep and help you enjoy the process of becoming a licensed architect. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah. And when you told me that a couple of weeks ago, I was like, it's okay. Like, I was getting in my head, like, I'm not meant to be an architect. This is taking way too long.
I know. Well, and I think that if people, you know, sometimes we hear these stories of people passing in a month or in 6 weeks or in 6 months. And so we are comparing ourselves, and our expectation is that, oh, well, they must be really great at what they do. Well, maybe they just are really good at taking tests, or, you know, maybe they've been working longer. You just never know the circumstance. And it's a hard one to not compare yourself to others, but, you know, finding out a system that works for you, because you even say 2 weeks for some people, that might be way too fast. For some people, that might work. And so each person, it's great to learn from them, but also still figure out what works best for you.
Yeah. And also, what's helped me, maybe I just tell this to myself, but like, if I had passed in 6 months and got my license, I don't think I would have been ready to go and take on a project of, you know, even a commercial project or anything like that. I mean, it still kind of scares me, that concept of me taking on a commercial project head on. So it's almost like, you know, I'm using this time because I wasn't ready. And that's just the way it is. So kudos to those that pass in 6 months. I'm not hating that at all. Yeah. But for me personally, I don't think, I don't even know what to do with the license if I pass it that quick.
Well, I guess I'll just... they say too that, like, you know, you either get the outcome that you want or you get the lesson that you need. And so those of us who have failed certain exams, we're getting the lessons that we need in order to maybe prevent a lawsuit later down the road, because we had to really solidify that information in our brain. And so I think the exact same thing. Like, I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't pass all on my first try, because when you get a pass, you don't actually even see your score report. So you don't even know, like, did I pass because I knew everything really well, or did I pass by just like a hair?
Yeah.
Of course, we want the passes. But at the same time, I do feel like I'm a better architect now because I really had to transform how I was going into it. It wasn't just a breeze. I had to dive way deeper. And I feel more confident as an architect now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. But at the same time, I would say too, I was actually just before this call talking about a commercial project, and I haven't done a commercial. I do all residential. And there's part of me that was like, can I do that? Like, am I equipped for that? Yeah. And I guess so. I'm a licensed architect.
Yeah. So you should always be a little scared.
There's always going to be a learning curve. There's always going to be, and that's part of growth too, is that with new levels come new problems and, you know, confidence, having to boost that up. But
yeah, exactly. Nice.
So when you passed, how did you celebrate?
Well, it was snowing here in Utah, whether you can believe that or not.
In April. What, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, the snow resorts here have like 700 inches of base. It's record breaking over here. But I actually went on a run. I love running. And I had so much adrenaline after I passed. I didn't even know what to do with myself. So I just went out and went on a run in 30 degree weather. And just kind of like, people probably thought I was crazy. I was talking to myself in the street, just like screaming. Just like, I did it. Like, I can do this. Like, they say PPD is one of the hardest, if not the hardest. If I can pass that, I can do the rest. And it was then I just went out and had dinner with my family and just kind of took a step back and just relaxed, which is now my version of celebrating these days. So it wasn't anything huge, but me and my wife were talking, we're going to do something big when I get the license, I think. So
yeah, I think that it's important. And I'm sure that your kids were just like so stoked for you to just see how, because our kids do know like the amount of work we put into it, and seeing that accomplishment. I've had people say like, oh, well, you know, as a mom, you shouldn't be working or whatever. I always think like, what a great opportunity to show them how you can accomplish goals and how you can even go through setbacks. Like, the lessons you're learning right now can be transferred to them is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. My two youngest don't really, they're too young. They just think I'm working or whatever. But my oldest, she's in first grade and she's like started doing like spelling tests. Yeah. And like things like that. So she's been like talking to me about her test. And then she's like, Dad, how's your test going? And then like this last weekend, I was like, I'm in a study. Like, sorry, guys, I can't really hang out, whatever. And they were just super, she was just super like, yeah, Dad's got to study. Like, we got to go to grandma's house. And like, so, and yeah, it's been fun to tell her too, like, hey, like, life isn't all about flowers and roses. You got to put your work and do your work and work hard to get what you want. So it's been fun.
And
to tell
you're also now teaching her lessons on how she can better retain information and learn. Like, I'm also more compassionate, I think, with my daughter, because she's pretty much same age. She's 6 and she's very active. Like, she's very much an active learner. And it used to bother me that like, if I was reading to her something, she can't sit and like pay attention. She's got to be doing cartwheels and running around. And that used to really bother me because I'm like, she's not paying attention. Then I realized, no, she's just a really active learner. And so for her to move or to learn well, she has to be like kind of moving her body. And so now I can advocate for her, even with her teachers, like let them know. In our traditional school system, it's like you sit at a desk and you have to, but I'm like, she's got to kind of move. And so I feel like I've set her up more for success just with that simple knowledge of understanding that we are all different.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Awesome. Well, that's so exciting. So the goal is finish these last exams, kind of bang them out, and then run an architecture firm, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. Some days I'm like, yep, I'm doing it. And some days I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. So as of right now, that's the plan. I think, you know, not so much like, I think entrepreneurship has been kind of glorified in our generation. I think people think, oh, you never work and you never do this and you have free time. And I think on the contrary, you work more and you have more on the line and more to risk. And with that, yeah, I mean, maybe you can walk and go somewhere in an afternoon that an employer doesn't have. But I've also just kind of been in the freelancing world. So it's not been like super crazy risky, the projects I take on and things like that. So I don't know. We'll see. I think as of now, I would regret if I didn't give it a shot. But like I said, I think it's kind of glorified a little bit. So I'm kind of going in it with hesitancy, but that's, I mean, to do all this hard work to get the license, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think that is a very good point, that it is very much glorified. And I don't think everyone is meant to be entrepreneurs. And I don't think that it's the best thing for, like, the idea of leaving a job and being able to turn that off at the end of a day. Like, that's so crazy to me. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I do not experience that. Like, I literally, you know, eat, sleep, and it doesn't mean I'm a total workaholic, maybe a little bit, but I have time with my family, but it also, my brain is constantly moving. And, you know, there's all sorts of things with it. And the way I like to think about it too, it's like a graph where you have time and then you have money, essentially. And with entrepreneurship, at first you're spending a lot of your time and you're really not making much. But then as you excel and as you go forward, that is the part where so many people see that entrepreneurship side of things where, oh, I work 5 hours a week and I'm making $1 million. And they're not seeing that, like, what had to happen first. But then there is this kind of subtle change where as you start growing, you do start making more and you start being able to work less. And that is really where you do see that value. And it's also, everyone's different, like, especially with architecture, some people stay solopreneurs forever and maybe they don't have as much of that time freedom, but there's other people that start bringing on teams and then, you know, you can grow and have a little bit more time. And so, I definitely recommend trying it out because especially with kids, it is really valuable to be able to 2:30 go pick up the kids and control your time and control the clients and the projects you take on. Of course, at first it's a little less, but there is a lot of value and it is the best decision I ever made. So,
yeah, I think that's the main point. I want to run my own firm because I want to pick the projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've worked on projects with employers. I'm like, this is so dumb. Mm-hmm. like they don't care. I don't care. No one cares. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the next project or whatever. So doing something I feel passionate about is important to me and doing it well is important to me. And sometimes you're not allowed that with an employer and with a firm. So definitely going to give it a shot and it's going to be fun. But
yeah. Well, and the thing I always tell people too about starting your own thing is you can always go get another job, right? I mean, you can always go get another job. And so it's kind of like you're not going to lose, you know? And yeah, so it's always worth the shot.
Yeah, so. I agree.
Okay. So before we sign off, you did mention that you were part of the program Mind Over ARE. And so if anyone is listening now who is maybe considering it or maybe wanting to just find out a little bit more, what would you say to them?
Well, I say this with anything is you get out what you put in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I told you on a couple of Zooms, like, I think this is a little hokey what we're talking about here. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. But there I was Sunday morning listening to the affirmations audio saying, I can do this. I can do this. So I would just say, I think you mentioned in the Instagram post, but like, if you've kind of gone through it, the thick of it, you know what these tests are about and you know the knowledge you need to obtain and retain, but it's not resulting for you in paper and you need that extra edge. And that's why I initially called you, was I feel like I just need that extra edge. I need that extra tool that I don't have or extra couple of tools. And so that person that is kind of in that spinning your wheels phase, don't know what to study, don't know how to study, don't know what to do to get a pass, needs to come and figure out beyond the AREs, just a little bit more about themselves and different practices you can use to boost that confidence. So that's who I would say needs to go to you versus anyone else.
Yeah, I've worked better at explaining that the last few months because I don't think I explained that well enough early on, that there's great programs out there. And if you're just starting to kind of gather your resources and figure out what this whole ARE thing is about, there's other programs that are more equipped for that. This is kind of that the later process when you're trying to figure it all out, you're trying to figure out why it's not working for you. And yeah, I like to say it's like for the senior ARE takers
in the trenches.
I mean it could be someone who's taken just practice management or, you know, but has failed a bunch and is having a hard time. It's still definitely for that person too. But yeah, it's weird. And that's why on our very first call, I always say, be open-minded because like, we're going to dive into some stuff and you're going to be like, why the hell are we talking about this? I need to pass my exam.
Yeah. And then, but there I was doing hypnosis therapy.
Yeah. And it's powerful and there's so much power in it. And sometimes it is like, if what you're doing isn't working, try something new and you never know. And hey, you passed.
Yeah. Cause I kept running into that. What's that like saying? Like the definition of crazy, insanity. Doing the same thing. Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah.
That's what I was running into. And that's why I initially reached out to you. Was like, hey, what's this thing all about? Because I obviously need to shake things up, and whether that was with someone else or this program, but I liked the tools that I've gotten from you. Even if I wasn't taking these tests, these are helpful skills. Mm-hmm. As a professional, whatever. So,
Even just life lessons with relationships and everyday life. So,
yeah, exactly.
But, and you know, it's so true too. Like, you do get out what you put in, because there's always a couple people that I'm like, oh yeah, that person's passing their next exam. Like, there was no brainer. Like, I knew you were going to pass your next exam. Like, I could tell, like, you did the work and you were feeling the way you showed up during our last calls than our first, like, you were ready. And you can tell. And then there's some other people that, you know, they're just kind of there to check off something else on their to-do list, but it's not going to resonate until those, you know, until you're ready for it too. So yeah. And it's, you know, you were ready.
Yeah. And I think, like, I also see a lot of people talk about, like, time, like, how much time do I put in, or how much time I don't have the time, or time seems mm-hmm. to be a pretty big thing in this. And someone told me, like, if it's important to you, you'll make time, mm-hmm. whether that's 10 minutes in the car listening to, you know, whatever, a podcast about the test, or taking 5 sample questions, there's time. So, yeah. You know, just making the time for it, I think, is important. So,
yeah, we always make priorities for our priorities. Like, you know, there's, and it means that sometimes we have to sacrifice other things during that time. But if this is a priority, you make it that, and then that way you can get done, and then you can focus on the other things that you love, you know,
yeah.
But that's the important part, is this one of your priorities right now? What is your end goal? When do you want to be done? Okay, now let's create a plan that makes that possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Well, I'm so excited for you. Keep me posted.
Yep. Always.
Keep all the tools, you know, do the week of meditations or exam day meditations. And I'm really happy to hear that they've been helpful and that it's been working.
Yeah. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. But thanks for coming on here. I know it's going to really help just also show that, hey, it's okay to fail and you can still pass. So
no such thing as failure.
No. And it took me 3 times for PPD too. So it's a beast.
Yeah.
Awesome, Michael. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you all for listening in on Michael and I's conversation. It's so great to hear his motivation, his confidence, and how excited he is now to get back into these exams and knock them out. As Michael mentioned, he was part of my Mind Over ARE program. So if Mind Over ARE sounds like something that you would love to be a part of, then definitely get on the wait list now. We have a group every quarter, so we have 4 a year, and the next group is just opening in a few days if you're listening to this live. And so I'll leave a link below, Mind Over ARE, so that you can join our next group. It's designed, as I mentioned, for those who are struggling with getting past their fails, if they are ready to be done. This is the perfect group for you. We have accountability, we have group study sessions, and also, as Michael mentioned, we go through a lot of different practices and learning strategies that are a little outside the box, but ones that will completely transform your exam process and your life, honestly. So if you want to get in the next group of Mind Over ARE, definitely go to the link now. And if we are in our open enrollment period, get in as soon as you can before it fills up. We are going to be starting on April 11th. So if you are listening to this within that time frame, definitely go sign up. And if it's past that, no problem. You can get on the waitlist for our next group. All right. Thank you so much for listening in today. Don't forget to subscribe and review and like and do all those things. And in the meantime, go check out this video next. Have a good one.